The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
What books would you recommend as required reading for high school students? Well, that's what we're going to talk about on today's episode of Grace in Focus. Hi, I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. Thank you so much for joining us. Currently, we're taking questions from listeners just like you. If you've got a question you'd like answered, you can send us an email, radio@faithalone.org. Well, let's go right to today's discussion with Dr. Bob Wilkin and Sean Lazar. Here's Grace in Focus.
Well, welcome to the show. We're here to discuss questions about Bible and theology, and I say that often, but also can maybe worldview questions and the life of discipleship. Maybe that's a way of bringing it more home to people. Bible and theology, that might sound too cerebral and abstract. But we're really, you know, how do you live the Christian life in light of grace?
Even cerebral sounds rather academic.
Is that too academic? It's too brainy and nerdy. So something that's practical, how do you live the Christian life? I mean, that's where we talk about marriage all the time, kids, we talk about how to run a church, or we talk about practical stuff all the time. But we're interested in those questions too. Send them to us. We want to hear from you.
And we do lots of puns.
We do. I was reading about the latest spelling bee, won a spelling bee champion. In this article, they were talking about, well, you know, it's really hard to win the spelling bee championship if you're not in the spelling community. And they're talking about the spelling communities and how people know each other and have techniques within the spelling community. And so it's like an old, I wonder if there's a pun community.
Probably.
You know, can we reach out to them with our show? Probably not. Okay, here's some questions. Are you ready? These are kind of general questions. Here's a couple.
Oh, and by the way, we ought to give a shout out to our friend Bill Feese.
My man, Bill Feese.
In Virginia. Hey, Bill.
He is the master of a particular software.
Logos. We can say it.
He loves Logos.
Faith Life, yeah.
Oh, man. And you have we might as well plug it, you have a video series that's sold through Logos, introducing Free Grace Theology.
Right now, I think Bill Feese sent me a thing saying, through a particular person, you can get any course, including mine, for $99.
Oh, wow.
And my course sells for like $400 and something. So if you're interested, send us an email and we can get you the information on how you can get the course cheaper.
Ah, very good. Yeah. Very good. All right, here's some questions. Here's one from Allison. She says, I've always home-educated our children. Our oldest is 16, and I would love to hear recommendations on great books for high schoolers. And obviously, the Bible is the best, so don't say the Bible. Books that you'd want your kids to read, your high school kids to read. I don't know. What would you say?
Well, I think there's a lot of them. I really liked Hemingway when I was in high school.
Uh-huh.
And so, like, The Old Man and the Sea is a great one, For Whom the Bell Tolls. A number of his, well, any of his books were very good. So I think, for example, C.S. Lewis's The Chronicles of Narnia are good.
Well, what about it is good? Why would that be helpful to a high school person?
What about which?
C.S. Lewis. Let's say The Chronicles of Narnia. Why would that be helpful?
Well, I think it's helpful because there's a lot of Christian symbolism in it, and you get to learn about symbolism. The lion symbolizes Jesus, the Lion of Judah. You have conflict going on and, you know, that sort of thing. He also has one called, I think it's called That Hideous Strength.
That Hideous Strength, that's part of the Space Trilogy.
And I love the Space Trilogy, and one of them has the Green Woman. And by the way, she symbolizes Eve. Because she's kind of like the progenitor of a race.
Yeah.
And it's like Adam and Eve are in some of his stories. So I would think, read the Space Trilogy. I like Isaac Asimov. Mm-hmm. He has the Foundation series, and he also has a whole series on robots.
Yeah.
He developed rules about robots. I like that. In fact, Zane Hodges loved sci-fi, and he used to read a lot of it. And I think sci-fi kind of helps us to be more open to the scriptures. Part of understanding scripture is to get away from the idea that what I read in the commentaries must be true. And saying, I wonder if there's other options on what this verse might mean.
Okay.
And then from a Christian standpoint, I would certainly recommend reading some of the books by Zane Hodges. They're excellent. His book, The Hungry Inherit, is written in a rather popular style.
Yeah.
It's easy to read, and it's excellent. He's got a lot of other books. My book, The 10 Most Misunderstood Words, I think That would be helpful. Your book on Chosen to Serve,
mm-hmm.
or you and I both have books on assurance that we would recommend for high schoolers.
Sure.
Basically, at age 16, a homeschool person should probably be reading at the college level because they're going to be ahead of the public school people. So basically, they could be reading lots of things to challenge their thinking, but they ought to be doing worldview kind of reading too.
I think so. At that point, they've learned their spelling, they've learned their writing, they've learned their math. Now you want to develop their worldview because they're going to enter into college and university, and they're going to want to be able to understand and respond to the other worldviews that are out there.
All right, here's one I'm reading right now. It's by Vadi Bauckham.
Yeah.
He's an African-American evangelical who moved to Zambia, and he teaches in a school there. He moved there in 2015. He's got like 9 kids and something like, I don't know, 20 grandkids or something.
Mm-hmm.
He's Lordship Salvation, which is the bad news. But the good news in the book Fault Lines, which is what I'm reading now.
Yeah.
He talks about critical race theory and shows how critical race theory is essentially communism and socialism, and it's that worldview. And that's what they're selling, is a worldview.
Right.
He basically goes through and shows how there's no place for critical race theory in the church, even though, believe it or not, it's making lots of inroads into various churches and denominations.
Right. You know, there's a legitimate concern about how minorities have been treated historically in this country and even today. And
right.
I know there was obviously definite racism and violence against minorities for a long time. But I think what critical race theory does is it takes a legitimate issue and then turns it into something very different. It's almost like parasitic on a legitimate issue.
Right. Well, in fact, one of the points he makes is if there wasn't a single racist in the United States of America, according to critical race theory, racism is rampant, even if there weren't any racists.
Right.
Because it's systemic. Have you ever heard the expression systemic racism?
Right. It's just part of the system, part of society.
Yeah. So could a high school student read a kind of a difficult book like Fault Lines?
I think so. Sure.
Sure they could.
Maybe I can recommend some. I mean, if you're thinking about worldview here, I would recommend William Lane Craig, and I think it's J.P. Moreland, Philosophical Foundations for a Christian Worldview. I mean, that just covers all the different aspects of the Christian worldview. And while I don't agree with every single way they approach things, it's a great place to start, you know, for a high schooler or an intelligent high schooler. If you want to understand economics, I'd highly recommend, for a short book, Murray Rothbard's What Has Government Done to Our Money? And if you want a bigger book, I'd recommend Man, Economy, and State, where both books kind of just defend capitalism, which I think is the biblical view. I don't know what else. I liked Atlas Shrugged, although I don't like
by Ayn Rand.
Yeah, I don't like Ayn Rand's other aspects, like her atheism and whatnot. But I thought it was a good depiction of what happens when a out of control government just destroys society. It kind of helps you understand. Okay, this is what totalitarian governments do, and it helps you recognize what's happening. What about biographies? I mean, I was reading a great Christian biography. Oh, what was it called? Well, G.H. Lang writing about Anthony Norris Groves. I thought that was a really good, kind of just a Christian biography.
Yeah, I read one on Hudson Taylor that I really liked. I've read a lot of Christian biographies. I've also read a lot of secular ones that I find very helpful to understand people. I read one on Michael Jackson years ago that was very enlightening. I read many on sports stars because I like sports, but I'd really like to know about the people in sports and what motivates them and what their thinking is. And Margaret Thatcher, there's a great biography on Margaret Thatcher. I know Zane read that like a few years before he died. He was reading that and enjoying that. Yeah, there's biographies are excellent. Any book that's helping you to think more critically.
Yeah.
And that's the important thing because if your daughter's going to be going, Allison, to college in a few years, assuming you send her to some sort of college, unless it's something like Hillsborough where you're getting some conservative values, they're likely to be bombarded by socialism and communism in college.
And
if they are, it's important that they learn to think on their own before they get to college.
Oh, absolutely. In light of college and kind of the postmodernism and that kind of thing that you'll get in college and university, I'd recommend Roger Scruton, Fools and Firebrands. I think the total title might be Fools and Firebrands on the Left. And he was a conservative British philosopher, and he just kind of unmasks just the self-destructive nature of leftist thinking, especially philosophical thinking. But he writes so clearly, anyone can understand that. And by the way, C.S. Lewis's That Hideous Strength, same kind of thing. It's almost like a Christian version of Ayn Rand a little bit, just the destructiveness of the totalitarian state. Very, very interesting. I mean, I don't know. We live in a weird, weird situation, probably at the precipice of the fall of Western civilization, kind of like the way Augustine lived at the precipice of the fall of the Roman Empire. And we definitely need to educate our kids so they have a strong worldview, because the wider culture is not going a biblical route.
I mean, at least in terms of conservative values, I agree with the biblical thinking, but at least in terms of conservative principles, I wonder if the majority isn't conservative and that we really do have a silent majority, because the socialism and communism is prevalent in a small number of cities and counties in the United States, but they happen to be some very large cities, yeah, like New York City, sure. Los Angeles, and they happen to be large states, and so they...
But when you think about it in terms of the world, like someone said, there's no other... If you're looking for freedom, there's no other place to go. This is the last country. You know, every other country in the world is socialist.
Right.
So, I don't know.
Well, thank you for this. We didn't end
sobering.
On the most encouraging note, but we can turn it around. Revival could happen.
Sure, revival can happen.
And it starts with young people who are well-read,
yeah,
and who can think for themselves.
Yeah, absolutely. The culture war doesn't happen over decades. It happens over generations.
And one final thought, Allison, I would suggest you read the books that you're having your daughter read.
Oh, yeah, that's a good idea.
So that you can discuss them.
Yeah, very good. Well, that's kind of an unusual topic for us, but I thought it'd be kind of just interesting
sure.
to put it out there. We'd love to hear from you guys. We'd love to hear where you're from, too. And if you're not subscribed to our Grace and Focus magazine, I would highly recommend that you do that.
Go to our blog.
Go to faithalone.org, and you can sign up for both there. Thanks for listening.
Thank you guys for that great discussion. Are you interested in finding other Free Grace believers just like yourself in your area? Well, you can do that by going to our website, faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. And on the website, we have a church tracker. It's an easy-to-use map that will help you locate those other Free Grace churches that might be in your area. So come visit us at the website and take advantage of our free church tracker. It's at faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. There are a lot of costs involved in staying on the air. That's why we so much appreciate our financial partners. If you'd like to learn how to become one, you can find out more by going to faithalone.org. We would love to hear from you. Maybe you've got a question, comment, or feedback. If you do, please don't hesitate to send us a message. Here's our email address. It's radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. Join us for tomorrow's program as we discuss what to do if there's no good church in your community. I'm Lucas Kitchen with Grace Evangelical Society. And until next time, let's keep grace in focus.
The proceeding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.